In this episode, we challenge you to let go of the scarcity mindset that drives so many nonprofits and recognize the value of investing in your organization.
Hello, and welcome to the Nonprofit Radio Show, a podcast with tips and tools for small nonprofits. If you feel in the dark about how to run a nonprofit, sunshine is on its way. I'm Nancy Bacon, and I'm joined by Sarah Brooks. And Sarah, recently I had the amazing experience of going to Forks, Washington in the winter. Are you familiar with Forks?
Well, I understand it's a rainy place.
It's very rainy. In fact, Twilight was filmed there. So when I was chatting, texting with friends, they kept sending me little vampire emojis, which scared me just a little bit. But so I was there to do this board training, and we had it was wonderful connecting with folks. And one of the things that came up in the conversation was this idea of whether it's okay or even ethical for a nonprofit to invest in itself. And we had this really juicy conversation. People didn't agree on this notion of whether a nonprofit can spend money on board training or professional development or just a retreat where you spend the day together and maybe the nonprofit buys you a meal. Maybe you bring in a facilitator. This whole notion of spending money on yourself in order to do your job better. And it came up, this notion that you know, it was brought up as to whether it might be unethical. And that made me think, oh, we need to talk about this.
Yes, we do, Nancy, because it's not unfamiliar to me. It's a conversation I feel like I've been a part of. And there are parts of this that I actually understand, at least where someone might be coming from. And I hope that we can perhaps offer an alternative perspective today.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And of course, like we've all heard of like Wounded Warrior and oh my gosh, NRA's been in the news recently. That's a nonprofit that spent a little bit too much. And we need to be clear, we are absolutely not talking about steak dinners and we're not talking about the Palm Beach retreat. Have you ever been to a retreat in you know, Santa Barbara at that beautiful resort?
No, it's absolutely, you know, true that you have to be a careful steward of the public trust and the donations or public funding, you know, that you receive. Absolutely. We want to make that absolutely clear. But you also need to make sure that you're doing the most you can for your mission. And sometimes that does mean investing in your own capacity. Don't you agree?
Oh, I absolutely agree. I mean, I think about, you know, how do we know how to do what we do? How do we connect with each other? We absolutely need to invest. So what are some ideas on this?
Well, the first one that comes to mind for me is that chances are, if you're a small nonprofit organization, your biggest asset is probably your people, whether that's your staff, if you have one, or your volunteers, or both. And people, turns out, need some basic fuel in order to be at their best. One thing I've learned through the years is that people need to feel competent. You actually have to provide the training or knowledge so that they can be good stewards of your mission. If you just ask someone to show up and say, hey, Nancy, do your best, chances are you're not going to really feel that great about what you're doing because you aren't quite sure where to start. And so making sure that you have what you need in order to be a good steward of the mission is probably going to take a little investment, either in something like training or providing access to resources. Like, for example, in many sectors, there might be a state or national association. I know you work sometimes with, you know, networks of food banks. There are probably some dues you pay to join that. But in that process, you get access to a whole bunch of shared knowledge and resources.
Oh my gosh, it so is. And I think about even those conferences and to even go with the food bank example, Washington Food Coalition runs fabulous conferences. And one of the best parts of it, like so many conferences, are the board members and staff members who stay in the same hotel and hang out together at night and have breakfast together in the morning and they travel together. That all is an investment. There's money being spent to do that. And yet the bonding is amazing.
Right. Because the other kind of fuel humans need in order to be like functioning at their best is to feel connected, right? You have to feel like you're not just, you know, fighting this movement all by yourself, that you've got people with you and that you're rowing in the same direction together. And that connection piece does require capacity and capability. It might mean paying a facilitator to help you lead a retreat, or it might be reserving a space to have a productive meeting rather than, you know, just hosting it in the basement room. And it also, you know, may require even taking some time to see your mission in action and giving people that space and ability to do that.
Yeah. I mean, I like to talk about consequential decisions, and that if we want a group of people to make consequential decisions, like board members have to make consequential decisions, they have to trust each other. So how do you build trust? And I know we've talked about this in previous episodes, but how do you build trust? You build trust by being together, and you're together often over a meal or at a retreat or any of these things we're talking about.
Absolutely. You know, and the other kind of fuel, I think, that people need to be at their best is you need to feel valued. You need to feel like your contributions matter and are helping. That sort of sustains you, especially if you're a volunteer, right? What keeps you going is that you feel like you're actually having an impact and making a difference. And I think it is always valuable for organizations to pause and make sure that they are appreciating either their staff or their volunteers, those who really make it happen. And this doesn't have to be big, you know, it doesn't have to be a gold watch on your fifth anniversary, but even as simple as acknowledging, hey, we have our board meetings over the dinner hour, and perhaps it makes it accessible and easier for you to come and be at your best if we have a simple meal of, you know, soup and salad for you to kind of get you through the dinner hour, or, you know, buying a simple dinner for your staff if they're working at your organization's event over a meal hour. You know, sometimes just knowing you've got a sandwich for dinner when you're going to be working really hard for a long time in the night makes you feel like your organization recognizes you're putting in the extra effort. And those little investments sometimes go a really long way.
And how you do this really shows your values, because I think about a number of organizations I've worked for and with where the staff cooks a meal for the board, or the staff cooks a meal and they might bring a bowl of soup and some bread or cookies or whatever. But I'm always a little bit, I'm not super comfortable with these. You know, a lot of our staff members are not super well paid and they should not be showing up with board member dinner.
Well, right. And, you know, when I talk about these little investments, I think it's worth, you know, pausing for the asterisk that says, you know, one of the most important investments I will continue to say over and over again that a mission can make to become a successful movement is to make sure that the staff you have are paid well, at least paid a real living wage, because they are your biggest asset. And that's one thing, you know, nonprofit sector does not do a good job. And we certainly could do a better one.
Absolutely. So just one last thought on this, like why invest money for people to be together. I think there's this idea that we're seeing so much in the news lately, and that is people need time to percolate ideas together. It's really at the core of the work from home versus return to the office battle, which, you know, we're not going to weigh into that battle. But I think there is certainly need for unprogrammed together time that leads to innovation. It leads to those outside of meeting brilliant ideas that nobody thinks about when they're sitting at a desk, but it comes to them at the coffee pot or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's really important. And again, you know, we just did an episode on making sure you find a little joy and fun. And that's another way that you sustain people staying involved in your mission. And it's way easier to keep people than it is to burn them out and bring in new ones.
For sure.
You know, another thing I think about when I think about where you might want to invest a little in your own organizational capacity is that to be a good steward and to work in the public trust, you should also hold yourself to the high standard of being efficient. You know, and I think sometimes I'm stunned, you know, to go into an office of a fellow nonprofit and see, you know, the dot matrix printer from 25 years ago, or the, you know, out the computer that looks like it weighs 900 pounds, but it's still chugging along, you know. And there's this odd virtue in the nonprofit world of like making do with what you have. And yet I often ask myself, what about the opportunity cost? You know, that computer, that printer, they're not functioning as quickly as they could. There's just no way. And, you know, the opportunity cost of having a 10-year-old computer that fails frequently or a printer that doesn't work right is, it actually is making you less efficient. And that's not a good use of the funds that you're supposed to be stewarding. So I often feel like it's good to remind small nonprofit organizations that some basic investments in infrastructure can go a long way toward freeing up the time for you to be focused on the bigger issues of your mission.
Yeah. And of course, if we want to do a little bit more economic analysis, we'd have to count the human cost of that, right? Having the 10-year-old computer means you're putting a lot more human cost into that. And so then it actually is a huge waste of money.
Absolutely. And of course, like everything, there's the middle ground. You probably don't need the supercomputer that someone who's, you know, coding for a big company might need, but there's that nice middle ground that'll keep you efficient and worth investing in and keeping up to date. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the other place I think about is that you need to be strategic. You know, I think we say this maybe every third episode, but it's important to remember that nonprofits are often trying to solve the most complicated issues, right? What we work on, the capitalist market isn't dealing with, and our government agencies haven't totally figured out. And that's when the nonprofit sector steps in. And so that means we have to invest in making sure we're putting forth the very best thinking we can on getting towards solutions, because these are complicated issues. So, you know, I think that can mean things like investing in research, like really understanding what the root causes are of your particular area or problem you're trying to solve, or investing in your communications, making sure that you're able to, you know, take a really complicated issue and render it relatively straightforward and simple for someone else to understand. If you're going to build a movement, you have to elevate the discussion about your mission. And to be compelling, you're going to need to invest in good, crisp strategy.
Absolutely. And that may mean investing in a consultant to help you. I recently had a conversation with an organization that works in science, really complicated, high-level discovery science, and lots of research that, you know, involves big words and all of that. And they reached out interested in how can we best teach this science to people who are novices. And I thought that's just such an interesting example of what you're saying, that they've decided they need an outsider, a consultant who specializes in this area of basically how to translate complicated words into simple English. And I think that's an interesting investment to help them raise more money.
You know, at the end of the day, like the relationship that you have toward this feeling of, is it okay or not okay to invest in ourselves? I think that really comes down to whether you have a scarcity or an abundance kind of mindset. That's something I think we've talked about before in other episodes. And, I'm a huge proponent of the abundance mindset to our nonprofit community-based work. I think it really changes not just how you interact with donors and how you interact with those you're serving, but how you interact with your internal organization too. If you don't believe the pie is finite, if you believe that there's abundant support for good solutions out there, good ways to try to make the world better, then I think you see that your organization is worth investing in. Prudent investing, thoughtful investing, but worth investing in.
And I think all of the compliance rules around money, and I think your donors want you to make prudent investments in yourselves, yeah. That there's no, that this isn't something you can't do because of some rule or some expectation. Everyone wants you to succeed. So investing in yourself is part of succeeding.
Yeah. You know, I think about the conversation you were having, and I can picture someone, you know, sort of asking, well, how do I know when an investment is worth it? Or an extravagance, right? Like, this is like a kind of a gray line. And I don't know if this helps at all, but I worked with a colleague for a number of years who always utilized what he called the NPR test. So, you know, if you were interviewed on NPR about why you chose to spend organizational funds on something, could you defend it? Could you make a good case on NPR that, yep, that was, you know, paying that facilitator was worth it? And I think that's a good, if you're ever in that kind of gray area and wondering, just kind of pausing to think how that might fly, might help you get a sense of direction.
I think that's a great idea. And I think part of that is to remember that nonprofits exist within a larger ecosystem, that businesses invest in themselves all the time. And we often forget that. We forget that, you know, companies like, you know, Boeing might have an all staff training, or, you know, Starbucks might pull people out for professional development, whatever. I mean, companies are doing this all the time, and they're doing it for a reason. They're doing it because they see value in it. They get a better product. They become more efficient, you know, whatever it might be. So if you are talking to an NPR reporter and having to explain why you paid for, you know, pizzas for your pizza, your board retreat, you know, you can say, well, at least it wasn't the steak that Boeing had or whatever. You know, you can explain it in a good context.
Well, yeah. And I think you raise a good point. You know, I don't think many of us think twice about that happening in the for-profit world. And it's worth wondering why, you know, what's the different standard? If we know those kinds of things are conduits toward creating connection, creating trust, creating knowledge, creating strategy and efficiency, you know, we should be okay making those investments.
Absolutely. So what's our word of the week?
Well, it has to be invest. A fascinating word. And I, of course, looked it up, and it's this Latin root that comes from to clothe.
Like what?
Yeah, to clothe.
To clothe,
like to put clothes on. And I think that's so fascinating. I'm still trying to figure out how invest came from.
Yeah, I'm not seeing the connection.
Right. But there's an analogy here that I think we could work with for nonprofits. And that's just kind of to ask yourself the question, are you going to clothe your organization by investing in a few, you know, perhaps more expensive but long-term durable pieces? Or are you not, and just going to let it kind of, you know, float there with without that investment, and things might quickly become threadbare?
Oh boy. And I think threadbare is how many nonprofit folks could really relate with that. You know, when I think about invest, I think about future returns. And there's a little bit of risk in that, right? You spend money now in the hopes that something better results in the future. It may not be better, or it may be a lot better. And it's that belief that if we spend a little bit of money now, we'll have better returns later on, and that that's worth it. And I really think that, you know, we tend to be risk adverse in the nonprofit sector. And I think a little bit of investment, a little bit of saying, you know, we think that this is going to give us some future returns, and it's worth it.
Absolutely. You know, we get it. It can be hard to wrap your head around the justification for allocating some of your resources to things that feel like they serve your organization. But serving your organization is essential to meeting your mission. Yes, it's a balance. You can't cross the line into extravagance. And you have to know why you are investing in yourselves and what you expect to be different if you do. But you need energized and competent people working efficiently and strategically to meet the complex goals of your mission. And you'll need to make some sound investments in your organization to get there. You've got this.
Thank you for listening to the Nonprofit Radio Show today. Tell your friends about the Nonprofit Radio Show and follow us on your favorite podcast app. Visit nonprofitradioshow.com for tips, tools, and free resources for nonprofits. The show is produced by Nancy Bacon and Sarah Brooks in partnership with the Nonprofit Learning Center, delivering learning and innovation to help nonprofits thrive. Our production team is Steve Fonslet and Mep Schulte of Three Choices Creative Communications. We always love to hear from our listeners. We're inspired by you and other nonprofit leaders doing important work in our communities.